Good evening, everyone, and welcome to eBible Fellowship's Questions and Answers time for a Friday evening. These broadcasts are live every Friday at about 9:30 p.m. Eastern, and this program is designed to interact with you with your questions and comments related to the Bible, and we'll try to respond as well as possible by going to the Bible. If you're calling us by phone with your questions or comments, dial 209-647-1600 and enter the access code 181610, followed by the pound key, which gets you into conference. Then press star 6 and then 1. If you're using Skype, press the free conference call button, then press the dial pad button and enter access code 181610 and press your pound key. And to get in line to ask a question, press star 6 and 1. And if you're using Paltalk, you simply go to eBible Fellowship's room, and once inside the room, you can raise your hand, and when you're asked to, you can post your question. And so, with our Bibles at the ready, it's now time to turn things over to our speaker for this Friday evening questions and answers time and say hello to Chris McCann. Good evening, Chris.
Okay, thank you. And once again, good evening to everyone and welcome. And everyone is welcome to share what's ever on your mind by raising your hand and taking, well, by asking a question or making a comment in the ways that were just outlined. And I'll try to respond by turning to the Bible, as the Bible is the Word of God, and it is the place we must turn in order to find truth. Well, let's go to the first person on the phones tonight. Welcome to Friday Night Question and Answer Time.
Ezekiel Carvalho asks, can you please explain Isaiah chapter 25, verse 25? And in particular, can you please explain the phrase, dust shall be the serpent's meat?
I'm sorry, was that it? Ezekiel 25? Is that right?
No, Isaiah 65.
Isaiah 65, 25. Okay.
Okay.
The wolf and the lamb shall feed together, and the lion shall eat straw like the bullock, and dust shall be the serpent's meat. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, saith Jehovah. Well, In this context, God is speaking of the new heavens and the new earth, and from verse 17 on, and then he begins to talk about building houses and inhabiting them, planting vineyards and eating the fruit of them, and the elect in verse 23 shall not labor in vain nor bring forth for trouble. For they are the seed of the blessed of Jehovah, and their offspring with them. And so verse 24 is still talking of the elect. And it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. And while they are yet speaking, I will hear. And then in verse 25, we have a situation that is alien to our sin-cursed world. We have the predator, the wolf, and the lamb, which the wolf devours in our sin-cursed world, and the lion, along with the bullock, again, the predator and the one who is preyed upon. And yet they are feeding together. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together, and the lion shall eat straw like the bullock. That is, it will no longer be devouring animals for flesh. And this just shows us that when God creates the new heaven and new earth, that he will once again make everything good and perfect, and all the creatures that will be in that new creation that we shouldn't expect. The creatures that we see in this world, they were designed for this world, but the wolf and lamb and lion and bullock are just simply picturing creatures that God will create. And the idea is that there will be perfect harmony. All will be good once again, as God created this world at first good. There was no death. Death came as a result of sin. And that's why men die. And death in the animal kingdom also was a consequence of man's sin, as God cursed the creation because it was not realistic, or it just couldn't be that you could have sin-cursed men dwelling in a perfect world. And so man's sin brought the curse upon the whole creation. And by the creation, it means this earth, this universe, our sun, our moon, our stars, and everything else out there in space, however many galaxies or other stars and solar systems and planets are out there, everything that we can see is cursed, and everything that we cannot see is cursed if it's a part of this creation. And God cursed the whole creation that was once good for the same reason. He couldn't just curse the planet Earth and leave a cursed Earth in a perfect galaxy or solar system. He had to curse everything, and that's why everything will be destroyed. It'll be burnt with a fervent heat and completely annihilated, including unsaved man along with it, all sin in man and all the effects of sin upon the creation, completely destroyed and done away with. And then the Lord turns his attention, and we turn our attention along with him to eternity future and absolute perfection in all the kingdoms of God. In the new heaven and new earth he will create, in all the creations that he has previously created, which have remained good and never were impacted in any way by man's sin in this creation, all the glorious kingdom of God will once again exist in absolute perfection with no sin of any kind, with no effects of sin of any kind. And these verses tell us that. Now, you particularly asked about the serpent, and dust shall be the serpent's meat. And I don't know. I don't understand exactly what God means by that, except we know that back in the Garden of Eden, in the Genesis account, Satan entered into the serpent, who was a good creature at first, and then God cursed the serpent and made it go upon its belly. And why don't we turn back there in Genesis 3. And it says, let's see, in verse 14, "And Jehovah God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life." Now this is a pronouncement of the curse upon the serpent. It could be, and this is... It's just putting forth a possibility. It could be that God is indicating that the curse upon the serpent will be everlasting, eternal. Not that Satan will be suffering eternally, because God will destroy him along with everything else tainted by sin, when he destroys this universe, but the curse that, or the fact that he is accursed, could be could be in view as an eternal an eternal judgment of God, that he has been eternally destroyed and a curse forevermore. That's one possibility, but again, it's just a possibility. Thank you for that question. And is there another question from Pal Talk?
Echo 2011 asks, can you explain Ezekiel 44, verse 4? How can the Lord fill his house with his glory?
Ezekiel 44, 4. Then brought he me the way of the north gate before the house. And I looked, and behold, the glory of Jehovah filled the house of Jehovah, and I fell upon my face. And the question, it's a good question. How can the Lord fill the house with his glory? And we have Old Testament examples, historical examples. They're really historical parables. When Solomon's temple was completed, then the glory of the Lord filled the temple, and God came down in a cloud or something like that, and no man could enter in. And yet again, that was just an example of the presence of God. Now, the temple in view in these chapters in Ezekiel is pointing not to a literal temple, but to the spiritual temple of the body of believers. In Hebrews chapter 3, it says in verse 4, for every house is builded by some man, but he that built all things is God. And Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. But Christ as a son over his own house, whose house are we? There God is indicating that Christ built his own house, and that house is comprised of the elect. We are the living stones, and there is much language in the Bible that points to this, that proves that God views his people in this way, as a spiritual house of God. And so what happens? God sent the gospel forth into the world, and after each individual was saved, it was another building block, another living stone added to the house of God, until finally all whose names were written in the Lamb's Book of Life became saved, and the house was completed. And what does the Bible tell us? Once the house is completed, then the glory of the Lord enters in. Now, in this case, since it's a spiritual house made up of the elect, only the elect, in every case, when God saves someone, he indwells them. The Holy Spirit goes and makes his abode within that individual. And so when God saved the last of the elect, it was as if now God has fully entered in to the house of God. There's not any more stones to be found or added. There's nothing further to do to complete it. Now the house is complete, and the glory of Jehovah has filled the house of God. We see in Haggai, in Haggai chapter 2, where God is carrying this idea further, or it's in view here in Haggai 2, in verse 5, according to the word that I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt, so my spirit remaineth among you, fear ye not. For For thus saith Jehovah of hosts, yet once, it is a little while, and I will shake the heavens and the earth, and the sea, and the dry land, and I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come, and I will fill this house with glory, saith Jehovah of hosts. The silver is mine, and the gold is mine, saith Jehovah of hosts. The glory of this latter house shall be greater than of the former, saith Jehovah of hosts. And in this place will I give peace, saith Jehovah of hosts. This house is again the house of God, made up of all true believers. And did God shake all nations? Did the desire of all nations come? And yes, when he sent forth the gospel one last time during the latter rain up until May 21, and then spiritually there was a great earthquake. We've looked at that previously. Acts chapter 16 discusses that, where all those that were in a prison experienced a miraculous earthquake that simply opened up the bars of their prison. And this is the case spiritually. God brought about the shaking of the nations, and he filled the spiritual house of all those that Christ saved with himself, with glory. And the further statement, the silver and the gold is mine, that's also indicating the true believers who are typified by silver and gold. And the glory of this latter house, this house that is spirit, is, of course, greater than the former houses that were made of actual wood and stone and materials. The latter house will endure forevermore. It is an eternal house of God in which God will dwell with his people. But thank you for that question. And is there another question from Pal Talk?
Not at present.
Okay. If anyone else has anything you would like to share, a question or a comment, please raise your hand at this time. Okay, we don't have any further questions, so we're going to close our question and answer time tonight. Lord willing, we hope to have our online fellowship this coming Sunday, beginning at 12 noon until about 2:30 p.m. And everyone's invited to join with us. If you're able, please visit ebiblefellowship.com for further information. But for now, I'm going to say good night, and may the Lord's perfect will be done.
Thank you so much for joining us during this Friday evening questions and answers time. The broadcast is heard live over the Internet beginning at approximately 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time. You may also join our Sunday afternoon broadcast of eBible's Questions and Answers beginning at approximately 1 o'clock in the afternoon. Until then, may the Lord grant us his wisdom, and may his perfect will be done. Have a blessed evening. Good night.